ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
We'll read this morning from Canto 1, Chapter 3, Texts 26 and 27. And 26 is a summary verse. 25 concluded with Kalki Avatar. 26 is saying, and there's so many more. So many more that you can't count them. The Sanskrit word for you can't count them, there's so many, is asankhyeya. One of the 239 Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna that I've describe to you so far Sankhya Yoga, now I'm going to describe to you Buddhi Yoga. So Sankhya and Asankhya. Sankhya literally means to count. So there's elements that comprise matter, and you can enumerate them or count them, and then assign. Okay, this is earth, that's water, that's fire, that's air, and so forth. Sankhya Yoga is analyzing matter and spirit according to that system. That's Sankhya Yoga. Distinguishing matter from spirit by counting. This goes into this category, that goes into that category. And its opposite is asankhyataha, or here, asankhyeya. And this is the uncountable forms of the Lord that appear in this world. That's avatar. Avatara hi asangeya. Sutta Goswami is saying, you've asked me to describe those forms of the Lord. Hey, they're uncountable. Hare sattva nidher Divija. So nidhi means ocean. And sattva nidhe, or sattva nidhi, is the ocean of goodness. Sattva nidhi. Hari sattva nidher divija. O brahmanas, so it's plural. Sutta is addressing the sages. These forms of the Lord appear in innumerable manifestations, as much as the waves, here he's translated as the rivulets, so that's rivulets, like a small wave, as rivulets flow from the inexhaustible source of water. What's that? Where does water come from? What's the source of water? It's from Krishna. Hari is the source of everything. So, as he's the source of everything, because that's how the question was phrased. How does the Lord perform this creation? And what are those forms of his that he appears within the creation, that he created? He's the source of the creation. He's the source of the forms that appear within the creation. Because he's the source of everything. Okay. Yata. That's, it's a comparison. Like or as. Like, you know, what a metaphor. When you're comparing one thing to another thing. It's a metaphor. the rising of the sun is like, you know, it is what it is. It's the rising of the sun. So you can say it's like something. So, yata is a comparison. So it's these forms of the Lord that come within this world. Avidasana, they're inexhaustible. Kulya, kulya, that's the rivulets. So there's this ocean of goodness, and within this ocean of goodness, they're coming like rivulets, small waves, within a vast lake. Sara, sarasaha, shu sahasrashaha, there are thousands, countless thousands of forms of the Lord. Prabhupada's purport. The list of incarnations of the personality of Godhead given herein is not complete. It is only a partial view of all the incarnations. There are many others, such as Sri Hayagriva. There's a reason why he's mentioning Sri Hayagriva first. It has to do with another reference he's going to make in just a moment about Prahlad Maharaj offering prayers to the personality of Godhead, Lord Nrisimhadev. And he describes, you have appeared as Hayagriva, who, when Madhu and Kaitava were attempting to steal the Vedas, you appeared in this form, Hayagriva, Hayagriva, Hayashira. He had the neck and the head of a horse. And as Hayagriva, he killed Madhu and Kaitava. So he's also known as Madhusudana. Very common name, Madhusudana. A form of the Supreme Lord who kills the Madhu demon. And other names, other forms, Hari, Hamsa, Prishnigarbha, Vibhu, Satyasena, Vaikuntha, Sarvabhauma, Vishvaksena, Dharma Setu, Sudama, Yogeshwara, Brihadbhanu, and many others of the bygone ages. Sri Prahlad says in his prayer, quote, my Lord, you manifest as many incarnations as there are species of life, namely, the aquatics, the vegetables. What's that form of the Lord as a vegetable? Don't know. The reptiles, the birds, the beasts, the men, the demigods, etc. Just for the maintenance of the faithful and the annihilation of the unfaithful, you advent yourself in this way in accordance with the necessity of the different yugas. This incarnation, in the Kali Yuga, you have incarnated garbed as a devotee, unquote. That's Prahlad's prayer. So I'm going to go to directly read from the 7th canto, chapter 9, text number 38, where in the verse, this is Prahlad's prayer, 7, 9, 9th canto, which is 9th chapter, is Prahlad is pacifying the Lord with prayers. So Lord Nrisimhadev has appeared, the demigods attempted to pacify him. He wasn't pacified. They specifically, Brahma asked, Prahlad, you go, you try. Because he appeared to protect you, so if you speak, he will probably become pacified. So he became pacified. So he's glorifying, Prahlad is glorifying Lord Nrisimhadev as the personality of Godhead, who appears sometimes it doesn't mention vegetables, but it does mention in various incarnations as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a demigod, a fish, or a tortoise. So he can appear as a vegetable if he wants, or however he likes. Thus maintaining the entire creation in different planetary systems and killing the demoniac principles. According to the age, O my Lord, you protect the principles of religion. In the age of Kali, however, listen, this is a very different rendering of the verse. You do not assert yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You do not assert yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore you are known as Triyuga, the Lord who appears in three yugas. So there's a, for those of you not so familiar with Chaitanya Charitamrita, I'll give you a little section from Chaitanya Charitamrita where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has entered the Jagannath temple first, and he fainted in ecstasy. He was taken to the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who examined him and found that it was a genuine state of trance. Then Lord Nityananda and the other associates of Lord Chaitanya came to the temple. They inquired, "Have you seen this very tall, golden formed sannyasi?" "Oh yes, he's at the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya." They went there. He was in trance. So loudly for a long time they chanted kirtan. And he came to external consciousness. And then there was some discussion. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya invited Mahaprabhu go to the temple, take darshan, come back, and I'd like to feed you and all of your associates. So he did that. And the relative of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, I believe it was the brother-in-law, so the wife of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the sister of Gopinath Acharya. So Gopinath Acharya had this very intimate relationship with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Family relationship, but also spiritually, they're very elevated, learned personalities. So in the course of their discussion, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was asking Gopinath Acharya, "Can you tell me a little bit about the background of this sannyasi?" And he said, "He's the son of Jagannath Mishra, his grandfather is Nilambar Chakravarti." And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "Oh, I know Nilambar Chakravarti." Because he was previously, Sarvabhauma was from the same area. And we were very intimate friends. So I'll treat this young man as like my relative, my own family member. Because that close he was to Nilambar Chakravarti. And he said, "What is his sannyas line? From what line did he receive sannyas? From the Bharati Sampradaya." And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "Oh, Bharati Sampradaya, that's not the highest grade of sannyas. If he likes, I can redo his initiation, because it's a formality somehow or other, and he can take a higher grade of sannyas." And Gopinath Acharya said, "He's not interested, nor is it of any consequence to him. to receive a higher order of sannyas. He's the personality of Godhead. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, whoa, wait a minute. Gopinath Acharya, you're a learned person. How can you say this person is the personality of Godhead? We can't make any statements about something without reference to scripture. What's the scriptural authority? Because in the scriptures it says the Lord is Triyuga. He who appears in three yugas. So you're saying this is Kali Yuga, but this is the Supreme Lord, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Please contain yourself within the statements of scripture. We should. So then Gopinath Acharya explained this term Triyuga means that he, exactly as it's said here, he appears where he asserts himself as the personality of Godhead. There's another detailed explanation where it's he appears as he does not appear as a Lila avatar in Kali Yuga, but of the Lila avatars, there's two in Kali Yuga, at least Lord Buddha is in that category. In any case, he doesn't assert himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the language of the Sanskrit, Yuga Anuvritam Chana Kalau. So what? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Chana Avatar. Chana is covered in the age of Kali. He's covered because he appears as a devotee of himself. Yes? Krishna appeared. Krishna appeared to as himself in two verses previously described. He came himself. And he instructed surrender unto me. So Lord Chaitanya came to show, here's how you surrender to Krishna. Except he was Krishna. But to teach how to surrender to Krishna, he appeared to be a devotee of Krishna. He concealed his divinity. Chana avatar. So that's what the reference that is being made by Pramod Maharaj in the seventh canto, which Prabhupada quotes here. He says, you have incarnated garbed as a devotee. Garb means like a garment or covered. He's covered by the feature of being a devotee of himself. But he's not teaching, you know, worship yourself. He's teaching worship Krishna. As a devotee, worships Krishna. So Prabhupada goes on. This incarnation of the Lord in the Kali Yuga is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are many other places, both in the Bhagavatam and in other scriptures, in which the incarnation of the Lord as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explicitly mentioned. Well, there's many words implicitly mentioned. Not by name, but by character or quality. Just like, I don't know, iPod, because that's something that everybody knows what an iPod is. But supposing you refer to an iPod by what it does. You didn't use the word iPod. You could even say podcast, but it's not it's not the instrument. Anyway, you get the idea. And you understand the thing by the features of the thing without necessarily giving the name, iPod. So Lord Chaitanya is understood by his qualities, by what he does, and what he teaches, and so forth. In that way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was referred to in the scriptures because he's the personality of Godhead, but he's appearing like a devotee of himself. So that's a contradiction. He's Krishna himself, teaching how to be devoted unto Krishna. Okay. In Brahma Samhita, it is also said indirectly that although there are many incarnations of the Lord, such as Ramana, Sringa, Varaha, Matsyakurma, and many others, the Lord himself sometimes incarnates in person. What's that verse from Sri Brahma Samhita? Where Lord Brahma says this. Rama adi murti shakala niyamena tishtan na na avataram na na avataram. There are various avatars. Krishna svayam samabhavak paramak pumanyo. But amongst them all, there is one that is the original. Same language as text 28 of this canto. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna is the origin of them all. This sea of sattva, the ocean of sattva, it has little rivulets, and those rivulets are like they're incarnations, as there's rivulets in an ocean. But Krishna is the source of the ocean. Krishna is the source of all avatars. And sometimes he comes in person. In the case of in Kali Yuga, he appears as a devotee of himself, a concealed or garbed or covered form. So Prabhupada continues. Listen to this language carefully. Lord Krishna and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are not therefore incarnations. What's the distinction being made? There's incarnations and there's the source. So distinct is there's this. So Krishna and Lord Chaitanya are the same. It's Krishna himself as a devotee, Lord Chaitanya, and they're not expansions of, but they're the source of all expansions. This will be clearly explained in the next sloka. Well, it's in two slokas, in text 28. 1328 is a very important verse. It's like the pivot verse of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, stating that Krishna is the source of all incarnations. As he is the source of everything, he's the source of all incarnations. So, the Lord is the inexhaustible source for innumerable incarnations, which are not always mentioned. That's the summary of what that sentence is, the summary of what this verse 26 is saying. Asankhya, sankhya means count. Asankhya is you can't count them, innumerable. So the incarnations of the forms of the Lord, the avatars, are so many you can't count them, and they appear from an inexhaustible source. Avidasana, avidasana, yata avidasana, kulya, kulya is the rivulets. So the source is inexhaustible. It's like the invocation verse of Sri Ishopanishad. Some of you are having trouble staying awake. Let's see if you can remember the invocation verse of Sri Ishopanishad besides yourself. What is the invocation verse of Sri Ishopanishad? It starts with Om. And how does that invocation verse connect with what we just read? the source of all incarnations is inexhaustible. Explain. Explain the verse, how the verse connects with the fact that the source of incarnations is inexhaustible. I know what the answer is, but I couldn't follow what you said. Say it again, clearly. So many complete units come, and as those complete units come, the origin is not depleted. That's inexhaustible. Or in the language of Bhagavad Gita, avyayam. Avyayam is inexhaustible. But even more precise is this one. Avidasina. So many purnams come from the original purnam, and the original purnam is not depleted. That's purnam. You can't, there is no such thing on the material plane. On the material plane, you can take the biggest possible thing that you can even think of, what to speak of, you know, create or observe. Take away something, even a little something, from that big something, and it's depleted. It's that much less. But Krishna is so purnam, so complete, that complete units come from him, and he's still purnam. It's not material. Fully spiritual. That's the completeness of the source of all incarnations, Krishna. Then he, in the purport, Prabhupada discusses those purnams that emanate, they demonstrate that same incomparable potency, that, you know, very, very special potency that only an incarnation of God can manifest, or that others cannot manifest, however powerful they may be, however powerful Rani Kashipu was, he was extinguished in a moment. And however powerful Ravana was, he was killed by Lord Ram. Anyone, however of this world, however powerful they may be, it's just like an insect. In fact, that's what Prahlad Maharaj says. The wasp-like Rani Kashipu was bifurcated by the sharp nails of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such incarnations are distinguished by specific extraordinary feats which are impossible to be performed by any living being. That is the general test to identify an incarnation of the Lord directly or indirectly empowered. Then he gives examples. Some incarnations mentioned above are almost plenary portions. He's referring to Shaktivesha avatars that are not, they're jivas that are empowered with the potency of the personality of Godhead. So they're not, but they're not. They're jivas that are empowered. Almost plenary portions. For instance, Kumaras. What is that potency that the Kumaras are invested with?
Knowledge potency.
Gyan Shakti. Sri Narada is empowered. You can now put your hand up. What is Sri Narada empowered with? Bhakti Shakti. Prithu Maharaj is empowered. Administrative power. Palana Shakti, ruling potency. then he says the Matsya incarnation is directly a plenary portion. So there's empowered and plenary portions. Matsya is mentioned previously in this list. And here's a little detail. This is something that, that Prabhupada wrote in a letter in 1970 to Gopal Krishna Maharaj's former wife. Her name was Ekiani. So Prabhupada explained that there are certain forms of the Lord that that exist in the spiritual realm. There's other forms of the Lord that are only, they only make their appearance circumstantially. They're called naimittic, or, you know, they're in the spiritual world. Matsya is an example of one that there's no Matsya in Vaikuntha. Matsya is the name of an avatar, plenary expansion, but in the Vaikuntha realm, it's Narayan, not Matsya. And Lord Nrisingadev is another one, because you remember from the Bhagavatam, Lakshmi says, I've never seen this form before. But it's a form that the Lord assumes specifically, just as Prahlad is saying in his verse in the seventh canto, according to the circumstance. The circumstance is Brahma had given some benediction to Aranyakashipu. You can't be killed this way, that way, the other way, and so forth. So to uphold the word of Lord Brahma, the personality of Godhead appeared as Lord Nrisingadev. But in the Vaikuntha realm, you're not going to find that form. So it's a very coveted form. Very much loved by the Vaishnavas. It's a form of Lord Narayan, or the Lord of Vaikuntha. And the special feature that he protects his devotee. Just as Prahlad is saying in the previous verse, you appeared to protect the devotees who were given shelter by the Vedas, and Madhu and Kaitava were trying to steal the Vedas, so you appeared and you eliminated them. Same, you've appeared to protect me as Lord Sringa, you're the same personality. But this particular form of yours is worshipped by me. It's that particular feature that you've appeared to show my protection. So he was fearless. The demigods were afraid. He was not at all, he said, I'm not at all afraid of you. I know what this feature of anger is. It's meant for the demons, but for the devotees, you're a pussycat. You're very gentle. And the Lord sat him on his lap and patted his head. And so the innumerable, final sentence of the paragraph, of the purport. So the innumerable incarnations of the Lord are manifested all over the universes constantly, without cessation, as water flows constantly from waterfalls. Nice, huh? As water flows constantly from waterfalls, forms of the Lord are constantly appearing with somewhere within the universe, or plural, universes. He's so compassionate. So you can take a picture of a waterfalls, and you see so much water cascading down. But that's just a picture. The water is continuously falling, continuously falling, continuously falling, continuously falling. And Sutta is telling us these forms of the Lord are constantly appearing, and it's not depleting the source. Mm-hmm. With water, you know, after the recycling of the water that falls by the sun's shining and evaporating, goes into clouds, comes down the mountainside, it comes down. But you know, that's the arrangement of water recycling. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's not like recycling. It's Om Purnama Dah Purnaminam. He's Purnam. He doesn't have to recycle. He manifests and withdraws that manifestation at his will. And it's continuously happening. The last of for this morning, text 27, also mentioned are rishis, manus, devas, manuputras, the descendants of the manus, the sons of manus, mahaujasa, they're very powerful. Very powerful. Then, kala, these are portions of the plenary portion. Consistently, Prabhupada has translated this word kala. Kala, a portion of a plenary portion. So there's plenary portions, and there's a portion of a plenary portion. What does that mean, a portion of a plenary portion? It refers to Lord Vishnu, who exists or is expanded for the purpose of the cosmic manifestation and forms of them that appear in this world. They're also kala, the avatars of Vishnu, portion of a plenary portion. It's just terminology to differentiate between the Vaikuntha manifestation and this worldly manifestation or manifestations within this world, because they're of the same potency. The plenary portion and the portion of the plenary portion are of the same potency. It's just to distinguish the realm that they function within. So, translation. All the rishis, manus, demigods, and descendants of manus who are especially powerful are plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. This also includes the prajapatis. There's an original prajapati. Well, the original prajapati is Lord Vishnu. And then within this realm, there's the prajapati of Lord Brahma. And from Brahma come many other prajapatis. And from them come many other prajapatis, and so on. It refers to a function of populating the planet or populating the universe with varieties of beings, including varieties of species. That's what the prajapatis do. In the 11th chapter, the universal form chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, in his glorification of the personality of Godhead in this universal form, he says that you are the seed of all existence. You are the prajapati, the progenitors of mankind, and the source of all the manus who are also progenitors of mankind. While the manus rule, they derive their ruling capacity from the original prajapati, from Lord Vishnu. So in the very short purport, then we'll end, those who are comparatively less powerful are called vibhuti, and those who are comparatively more powerful are called avesha, incarnations. So, shakti avesha, avatar is a category of, there are six categories of avatars. They're described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatan Goswami, and you'll find that in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which is a summary of the teachings from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So avesha is relatively more powerful. Or is it the full potency? A living entity can be invested with the full potency of knowledge, full potency of bhakti, full potency of ruling, full potency of this and that. Full potency. Or lesser potency. Vibhuti. So chapter 10, Bhagavad Gita, is Vibhuti Yoga. The lesser potencies. It's manifestations of Krishna within this material realm that are not fully spiritual, but it's a reflection of his spiritual potency. I'm the light of the sun and the moon. I'm the power of all, prowess of all powerful men. I'm the strength of the strong. Of fish, I am the, of aquatics, I'm the shark. And so on and so on and so on. Mountains, I'm the Himalayas. Of immovable things, I am mountains. Of fire, I am Agni, and so on. So, those are vibhutis. And more powerful are the forms of the Lord as they descend in this world, Shaktivesh. But vibhutis, we should understand, they're also from the Lord. Because Krishna says, of this I am so-and-so. It's I am. It's a manifest. I am in the sense of the energies are the representation of the person. Not the energy is the person, or there isn't a person, all there is energy. You follow? Struggling to stay awake here. So, we'll give a specific example. The Kumaras are manifesting the Gyan Shakti of the Lord. We're not saying that the Kumaras are the Supreme Lord. They're not saying that either. But the potency that they possess is the potency of the Supreme Lord. So they're representing the Supreme Lord in the fullness of his knowledge potency. That's really something. But they're not the Supreme Lord. But then there's the intelligence, I'm the intelligence of the intelligent. There's somebody that may be intelligent, it's not the four Kumaras. Where's that intelligence come from? It's also coming from the same source the four Kumaras' intelligence is coming from, it's just of a lesser manifestation. So the distinction, that's Vibhuti, the other is Avesha. And by the same principle you can understand all the other Avesha and Vibhuti. But anything in this world that's opulent, it's but a spark of the splendor of Krishna. The spark of the splendor is like, you know, you have a big fire, and there's radiance of heat and light going out from that fire. And then over there's a little spark. It's also giving off heat and light. So it's but a spark. The Vibhutis are but sparks of Krishna's splendor. But why is the Vibhuti Yoga list being given? Because Arjuna wants to remember Krishna. Hopefully we want to remember Krishna too. So to remember Krishna, it helps to remember Krishna just by seeing ordinary things, like there's light in the room. Or there, we taste water. I'm the taste of water. We're thirsty. We drink the water. We can think of Krishna. Krishna is far more than the taste of water, but he's also the taste of water. Or that which quenches your thirst. Krishna. Krishna. Of seasons, I am spring. Krishna. And he's all seasons, but of the seasons, he's the best. Spring. So we can think of Krishna constantly through his vibhutis, through his avashas, and himself personally. And then the next verse is, and of all of these incarnations, avashas, vibhutis, and this ones and that ones, I'm the source. I'm that Purnam from which all other Purnams come. The inexhaustible Purnam. Okay, we made it through the morning class. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Maharaj, it seems like very easy to remember Krishna, but sometimes but you still see that condition so much hours to remember Krishna. The way you are explaining, so many ways can exist through everything you can.
Yeah. Well, we remember things that are important to us. When we're tired, we remember that we're tired. The things that are important to us, we remember. When we're hungry, you know, somebody doesn't have to remind us. We remember. And that's due to our identification with matter. As far as the soul is concerned, the soul doesn't need sleep and doesn't need food, doesn't need rest. But because where our consciousness is invested, that's where our attachments are, and we don't have to be reminded. So sadhana is where we're prompting our dullness to remember that which is completely natural for us. It's because of our aversion to Krishna, long-standing aversion to Krishna, that it's hard to remember Krishna, although it's so easy. What we're attached to. And so there's a gradual cultivation of attachment to Krishna, detachment from matter. And to help, Krishna supplies the answer to Arjuna's question. Here are ways why you can always remember me. Anything else? Yes?
What you are telling about Vaikuntha manifestations and manifestations in this world.
What's the difference between them? Function?
In terms of energy, it's like the though Krishna is Puna.
So, he appears in this world out of compassion. Pritranaya sadhanam, vinashaya chaduskritam. Dharma. So there's none of those absences in the spiritual world. There's no demons to vanquish. There's no difficulty to protect the devotees from. And there's no forgetfulness of Dharma. But with the incarnation, the difference is there's a function. And he exhibits his divinity too. But it's those three functions. In the spiritual world, he's just enjoying with his devotees. The devotees are enjoying with him. Different function. And he does so in very creative ways when he appears in this world. He's not hackneyed, stereotyped. You know, it's got to be like this, it can't be like that. He's very creative. Anything else? Yes?
The reasons for incarnations, as Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, by trans.
Yeah.
And the reason for Avesha avatars also similar?
Yeah, he's got a whole repertoire. Isn't it's not boring. So he can come himself, but sometimes he likes here's these four Kumaras, they're so qualified. You go give all my, you have the fullness of my knowledge potency. Go ahead. Distribute this knowledge to everybody. Haribo. He can come himself. He can give it to somebody else to do. And Narada, oh, such a nice devotee. My fullness of my bhakti potency. You can have, you like to serve me. Take this, go everywhere. Just like that. He can come himself. He gives to his devotee. Variety. And our acharyas have made that variety relishable by describing this way, this way, this way. It's just for relishing purposes. It's not for, you know, information purposes. For us, like, you know, in the beginning stages, it's like all this overwhelming, seemingly overwhelming amount of information, but it's not for that purpose. It's for appreciating our wonderful Lord, all the different ways that He's doing what He does. He can send an expansion. He can send a empower a living entity to do the same thing on His behalf. Sometimes He comes Himself. There's so many ways and so many forms. But the message is consistent. And even like this, you know, with Lord Buddha, it's like, you know, take people at least a step that they can handle. It's so, for a devotee, it's just, it's like, it's marveling. Oh, what a wonderful Lord. He's so expert. He's so compassionate. He, you know, He knows exactly what to do. And He does it for the welfare of living entities. So that it enriches the devotee's appreciation for Him. And helps us become attached to Him as a loving person. When that stage of bhakti comes, then it's all the sadhana that we've done and all the whatever, rising early for Mangal Arati and, you know, all of those things make sense. the fruit is tasted. But, you know, when we're not tasting the fruit, it's perhaps a struggle. It's, you know, it's regulating the mind, regulating the senses, and they don't want to be regulated. So there's rebellion, and there's a struggle, and so forth. Just because, you know, we're very contaminated. But the little bit even beyond contamination, is there's some genuine attraction for simply serving. And in through that medium of service, being in our relationship with Krishna, appreciating how wonderful He is. I can tell you, the experience is very nice, and sharing that realization, hearing others express that realization that they're undergoing and the happiness they're feeling through that realization, it's as the soul progresses on the path of bhakti and is experiencing like that, and tushanti cha ramanti cha katayantascha mam nityam tushanti cha namanti cha, that verse comes to life. But that's the privilege of those who are constantly engaged in worshiping Him. And you can say it the other way, you know, the tribulations that come with progressing on the spiritual path, that's the privilege. of those who are very committed. And those that are not committed, they won't experience the tribulation, they won't experience that relationship either. They're not privileged. The opportunity is available to everybody, but whether we take it or not, and take it, then one becomes very, very fortunate, privileged. Then it's no longer, you know, just struggling. It's tasting. The happiness of simply serving Krishna in our relationship with Krishna. Very nice. Very nice. You can take any feature of bhakti and consider like that. Say deity worship. Or, you know, just the one I just gave, Mangalarti. It's regulative. Or chanting is regulative. Or hearing from the scripture is regulative. But as one's consciousness becomes, by that regulative, consciousness becomes somewhat cleansed. There's a taste. Like, you know, taking only Krishna prasadam. Krishna prasadam is nice. It's not like a big austerity. Krishna prasadam is nice. But as one advances, it's not just, you know, nice for the tongue. Like Narada shared with Vyasadeva when he was with the sages and they would give him the remnants of his food. He experienced that all the coverings of material consciousness were being removed. And he could experience himself within as, you know, not the gross or subtle covering. I mean, that's not just like, hey, I like prasadam. It's a whole other experience that comes from a regulative practice of don't eat other foods, take only Krishna prasadam. There's the regulative, and it's good. It makes your senses controlled, makes the mind controlled. And that's a much happier state than when the mind's not controlled and the senses aren't controlled. But it's a whole other level of happiness to experience oneself within and Krishna through the medium of that regulative activity. So like Maharaj Ambarish, he was on the topmost platform of devotion. He engaged himself as if he was a regulative bhakta, but he wasn't. He wasn't just doing it for show. Or for setting an example. He relished all the things that he was doing every day. He was on the topmost platform, experiencing his relationship with Krishna. Otherwise, how was it possible when the fiery demon came? He didn't respond at all. No, you know. He's a Kshatriya. Kshatriyas, you know, to protect and defend. They're strong, powerful. Nothing. Why? How is it possible? Unless there was something very, very powerful, was strong and deep within. So, regulative can lead to, and that's what we want, is our relationship with Krishna. We should be mindful when we're doing regulative devotional service. That's the purpose behind it. That's what Rupa Goswami's teaching is. Then we'll get the benefit. Full benefit. We'll get some benefit even if we just do regulative. But it's not just, you know, that's not what bhakti is. It's not just do's and don'ts. Behavior modification. It's not what bhakti is. Although there's behaviors that modify. It's the relationship with Krishna, entering into that relationship with Krishna, becoming attached to Krishna. And then, back to the first question, when you're attached to Krishna, you always remember Him. Krishna is giving the means how to do that which is so easy, which otherwise is a big struggle. Because we're so contaminated It's a struggle. Anything else?
You told that everything which is there in this, everybody has potency of from Krishna only.
Everything that exists is one of Krishna's potencies.
So when you see in different persons, suppose somebody is intelligent or something, what is the real way of appreciating that? Sometimes we just neglect and what is the real way of?
Well, you say even, you know, big demons, they're intelligent, but they're just misapplying it. They're misusing their free will, but the intelligence that they have to create this, you know, terrible civilization, there's lots of intelligence, and there's lots of austerity behind it.
Huh.
But it's just misdirected. So, yogamaya samagrata, mudhoyam navijanati. You know, we can appreciate this is from Krishna. We can also, in the case of those in the 98% of the population that are misusing whatever opulence Krishna may have provided for them, simply because they're misguided, misdirected. So we can appreciate the opulence, but also feel pain that they're misusing it. That was the position of Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur. They were in so much distress. Chaitanya Bhagavat is filled with it. So much distress over this city of Navadvip that's the highest seat of learning in the whole world. And these people are just mad after sense gratification. They're completely misusing this opulence that Krishna has provided them. How unfortunate. You can't hear the chanting of the holy name anywhere. They have all the reasons why you can't. They're just taking all their opulence and using it for, you know, marriage of their daughters and, you know, having big festivals for enjoying material life in the next life. Misusing, because these are Vaishnavas, pure Vaishnavas, they understand what the real purpose of an opulence is, and they're misusing it. And by that, they're misleading the whole population. How unfortunate. That's another how we can regard opulence. How unfortunate. Innocent people are being sent to hell because they don't know any better. How unfortunate. Prahlad Maharaj, same. Yes.
As you're saying that Vibhuti Yoga, to these places you can remember Krishna. Just classify saying that this awareness of this consciousness is not a problem. How do you get proper consciousness? How do you get proper consciousness?
I'll repeat something that I said earlier. By following the path of sadhana bhakti, one's coverings are removed and one's original consciousness is restored. There's not some secret that isn't being told to you. It's an open secret. So as you phrase your question, the answer is also provided. This age is the age of Kali, where all good qualities are destroyed and even, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Misguided people, even someone sincere and they want to know, generally they're given misinformation and they go off a cliff thinking, you know, I've got some nice teaching here, sending me off a cliff. So, sadhana bhakti, that's by methods that are coming down very carefully in descending manner, parampara manner, and by taking shelter of that descending knowledge, let me apply it in my life, that's sadhana, and the coverings become cleansed and the original consciousness becomes restored. That's the means. And that, what I was describing is the furthering of that sadhana leads to that higher consciousness. And even in the beginning stages of that higher consciousness, it's so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Just the happiness of serving. Without all the yucky coverings of, you know, desire and hate and lust and greed and uncontrolled senses and mind is out of control. And oh man, just the happiness of serving Krishna and Krishna's devotees. And you know, Krishna's devotees means like, you know, the people sitting in the room with you.
Mm-hmm.
Not like some place off in the distance somewhere. Just like it's this great happiness. Serving Krishna by serving Krishna's devotees. When the coverings are removed. So now back to your question. Well, I got all these coverings. What do I do? Sadhana bhakti. With proper guidance. That's the means. So clear, isn't it? Yeah, we struggle so much. we're such complicated beings. Gee. it's called a yoga. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.